A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As they were coming down from the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said in reply, "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Lucy. She's the patron saint of those who have eye problems. She lived in the late 200s, early 300s, was martyred in 304, probably during the Diocletian. Diocletian was the emperor of the Roman Empire. So right before, you know, by 313, we have the Edict of Milan, which makes Christianity legal. And so the persecution was had. It's only 10 short years before the end of the persecutions, and she was martyred at that time. We don't know a lot about her life, or at least I don't. And yet she was included in the saints of our first Eucharistic prayer. So the first Eucharistic prayer is a long one. Includes all the names of those different saints. And there's only about 20 of them. She's one. And it was only the first Eucharistic prayer that was used by the Roman Catholic Church for 1,500 years. So, this incredible, important martyr saint. And yet we don't really know a whole lot about her. So it, for me, it's going to be a little bit of a meditation about what does it mean to be incredibly important. Now, for whatever reason, maybe I'll have different personality types, but I've always been intrigued by connectedness. How that works in the mystery of God's plan. So even as I look out, I know almost all of you, not all of you, but almost all of you. You know, I've taught your children. I witnessed your marriage. My brother. teaches at my alma mater, his daughter teaches at my school. This is my brother-in-law's mom. The Denton days of the National Guard and the Hastings connection, Mortimer and Waters, is that right? I think that we emailed back and forth, actually. Your son-in-law is my principal. I taught his daughter. Cathedral connection, is that right? Yeah. Cathedral connection. Going to the, what's the little Kino place out in Denton for supper. I don't know why, it's always been just exciting to me. And I've been asked, what's the greatest thing about the priesthood? And well, there's just so many things. And the main thing that I should say that maybe doesn't come from my feelings, but I should say those things, about grace and about priesthood. But one of the greatest things for me is that connectedness. And my administrators will tell you it drives me crazy whenever we have an interview for somebody, I'll I always start by saying, tell me about yourself. And they'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, yeah, my cousin, so-and-so. But it's that connectedness to me that is so powerful. And it's the connectedness of the mystical body of Christ. It's the connectedness that, you know what? You may not think about it so much, or maybe you do. But it's the little things that continue to impact people. And that impact impacts other people, which impacts other people. And it really is the whole understanding of being in the mystical body of Christ. And think about St. Lucy. All right. Yet her name has been said for hundreds of years as this great saint whose name means light. And it's the little things that impact. And for her to make that step with Martha, whatever that meant, however that happened, but it's living the little things so that when the big things come, you say, okay, with, I can do this. And the trust in it, it's Mother Teresa, again, one of my favorite saints. Who isn't she a favorite saint? Doesn't matter who's a favorite saint. Could you not? You know, she says, it's not about doing extraordinary things. It's about doing ordinary things with extraordinary love. And at the same time, you know, realizing that it's when we do those things or we omit those things, or we simply choose to hurt somebody, or whatever. That also leads to the fact. You know? It's a stone in the pond or the ripple effect. And so we're always in that battle. And again, it goes back to the Beatitudes of, okay, Lord, I need you every day in my life. Holy Spirit. Okay, Lord, I need your forgiveness every day. And we do it together. We are a church of saints and a church of sinners. Sometimes it's the very same person. Church of saints and a church of sinners. So we work together to build each other up by this connectedness. I remember when I was a priest, I don't know, after my second year, so I was long 2 years, so the process, no children, then came to St. Joseph's Lane. And I said this to the St. Joseph's ministry, so they were all a little shocked because Seward Camp was there. Seward Camp is the liturgist at St. Joe's, and she, I'm senior hallman at her, and she's organized, you know, planning all the liturgies and those kind of things. But I remember we went to RCIA, and she and her husband, one of the leaders, and we're sitting around, and she says, okay, I want everybody to think about something that they have done that's been wrong, some sin that they have. I just want you to think. And she says, okay. Now, without, you know, I don't want you to bare your soul or anything, but without getting into it, I want you to tell everybody about your sin. Where the heck is this going? You know, I can just feel my blood start to boil a little bit. I'm thinking, I'm going to shut this down. And then, so she starts, and you know, some, you know, I get angry at my husband, you know. Something like that. It made kind of an annoying thing. And again, I just feel like this is one of those Sherry Carey things, and I'm not into this stuff. But then she goes on, now I want everybody to say, okay, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray that you can let that go. And then, I'm thinking, all right, this is too cheesy, schmeasy, we're going to get out of this. I'm about ready to jump in. And then she says, okay, let's pray that you can be here. Bless to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have said that what I have done, what I have failed to do. You say it every Mass. Why? To the Church of Saints. Praying that our connectedness to each other, by praying together, by working together, by recognizing our own sinfulness and our own call to sainthood, by not just beating ourselves up, in fact, not beating ourselves, but being honest so that we can let it go so that we can become more saintly. Now we recognize it's a journey in that. What's difficult for you because of your personality may not be difficult for me. And I can look at you and say, oh, Jerry, come on, how come you can't get that together over there? Well, but I have my things that are difficult because of my personality. You know what? It's going to be a struggle my whole life. Keep struggling. And keep seeking help. And keep, I confess to Almighty God and to you. Pray to Almighty God, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to all the saints, to loosen that I can grow. I mean, I'm telling you, the stuff we say at Mass every day, again, I am super slow. I just don't know how else to say it. 25 years I didn't say anything. I'm like, wow. I think it makes a lot of sense. Say it part of it. But when I'm on, I have to say it, I can't say it, but it's but not in our sins. Almost brings me to my knees. You say it right before we do Christian prayer. But not in our sins, but on the faith of your church. Connectedness. Your faith helps me in my memory, vice versa. Which always, again, sort of the way I think, thinking back to a moment in my journey in the seminary back in Philadelphia, I went to this, I just thought it was one of the most beautiful moments ever. I went to this meeting with Bread for the World, and Bread for the World was an organization, I think it's still going. Trying to say, we have wealth, and we have hunger. Why can't we bridge this gap here? And this girl, this college girl, and she was just bewailing her wealthy family that she came from. And she was just kind of telling this group of caring. Probably liberal-minded people, you say how horrible her conservative parents were, these wealthy parents got all this money, didn't care about the poor. And this woman got up and said, I appreciate what you're saying, but she said, I bet your parents are pretty loving. And they may have different experiences, and not that she's trying to justify only way we're going to make change is if we don't point a finger instead we reach out a hand. And I wish I could remember exactly how she said it, but it was just so awesome. And it reminded me of how we're called to have this balance of speaking the truth and living the truth and reaching out, not with condescension or having a spiritual way. I've got this say, wow, we're all in this together. Death doesn't change that. The connectedness that we have with the saints, and also the saints in our own life. 100 years from now, in one sense, no one will know Jim Reisenberg and Father Mike or the Bishop Latin. He's going to say, there's nothing better than a dead priest. Okay. I bet you feel good. The part was, okay. No, and yet that connection doesn't cease. I'll hopefully still have that great connection with my brother's great, great, great grandkids at that time. With my parents in heaven, with God willing, all those different things. And it's connected through prayer. Connected through heart. Connected through memory, connected through imagination. What awesome it is. So, all this about Lucy, the underestimated power of the little things. And that connectedness. And don't underestimate the power, the meaning, the light. Darkness, sometimes of our own hearts. The darkness of the world. The world is screaming out from the world. Screaming. It's hard to find it. Hard to find it ourselves sometimes. But if we can bring the joy of the gospel, it's a kind of it. Yes, and may we make that our prayer. We're not afraid of our ordinary things. Not afraid of it. Let me embrace it. Try to embrace it.